Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's bring on Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Also author of Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad. Tom Brady, lead analyst for Fox. I'll just start right there. Your thoughts?
Well, I have a feeling that what it means is he will step into the Troy Aikman spot. He'll be the top analyst on their games, the weekly top game on Sunday afternoon, the 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff that actually gets a gigantic audience. Those late afternoon games get bigger audiences most weeks than any of the primetime games of the weeks do. And I have a feeling that he'll be paid an amount of money, beginning with a two, maybe a three.
Wow.
Per year to do it. For him to commit now with still who knows how many years left to play. Whenever his playing career ends, they're going to hold that spot for him. So apparently they're just going to have someone, Greg Olsen, I don't know who, in that spot for the next year or two, and then Brady's going to take over. And I bet that the latest we're going to see him is 2023 because Fox has the Super Bowl this year and Fox has the Super Bowl in 24. The latest we see him is 24. So I think maybe he plays two more years max, and then he joins Fox for a year that they have the Super Bowl to get his broadcasting career started. I'm surprised he's doing it, but my guess is when you look at how haywire the market has gone and what a name he has, I won't be surprised if they're paying him $30 million a year. I really won't be.
My dear God in heaven. Mike Florio joining us on the show. Okay, well, we got something to talk about during the podcast after the show, Tone. You had a tweet yesterday, and I was gonna quote tweet it, Mike, and I say, Mike's gonna join us tomorrow morning at 9. I was like, I didn't want you to read it the wrong way and then maybe be upset with me, I swear to God. So I was like, well, we'll bring Mike on. You wrote, the Baker Mayfield situation is the latest litmus test for separating those who who view pro football players as human beings from those who view pro football players as property. Explain.
Well, we've seen this time and again over the years, and some teams are starting to get away from it. We've seen players this year who want out of a given situation having that desire accommodated by their team, whether it's Devontae Adams leaving the Packers for the Raiders via trade when the Packers wanted to keep him, Tyreek Hill leaving the Chiefs for the Dolphins at a time when the Chiefs would have liked to have worked out a contract and keep him around, A.J. Brown out of Tennessee landing in Philadelphia with his good friend Jalen Hurts. Hollywood Brown wants out of Baltimore. He gets his wish. There's a greater sensitivity within some organizations to the humanity of the players. And this is one of the themes of Playmakers. I try to get fans to be more willing to regard the players as human beings and not as robots, as interchangeable parts in a football machine. And there are some teams that still will treat a player like a piece of a machine. And there are plenty of fans whose knee-jerk reaction is to react to a player in a way that disregards the fact that he's a human being, and there's a resentment there that's baked in because the perception is they're all rich and famous. They're not. Some are. Most aren't. But with Baker Mayfield and the fifth-year option that the Browns picked up a year ago when they had every intention of keeping him around, and then they told him after the season, you're our guy, period, and then at some point after that became you're our guy, comma, unless we can get Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson. And now they're squatting on the contract, trying to win some small battle, win some chess match with some team where we get a fourth-round pick or we we only have to pay X amount of the money that he's due to be paid, and they can't work out a deal, they can't find a trade partner, and they're going to squat on a guy who doesn't want to be there. And I just think it sends a bad message to the locker room, to current players, to future players. You're treating a guy like he's a piece of property that you own, not that he's somebody who has a career that he wants to get on with, that the Browns, like, I view this as a sunk cost. When you're going to pay $230 million to Deshaun Watson over 5 years, you know it. You know going in that you're moving on from Baker Mayfield. You've exercised the option. You owe him that money. Just move on from him. Do what the Giants did yesterday with James Bradbury. They couldn't find a trade partner, so they cut him. And the sooner they do that, the sooner Baker Mayfield moves on with his life. Maybe he makes more money somewhere else and it chews into what the Browns have to pay him. Who knows? But I just think that we have folks out there that recognize that the people who play football and entertain us are humans. And there are people out there who just look at them as a guy who, you know, should be happy to get whatever he can get. And how dare he ask for more? And he should just shut up and play. And they get viewed as that piece of property. The team owns the player. And I feel like the way the Browns are handling Baker Mayfield, that's the message that's being sent.
Mike Florio joining us on the hotline. I always find this discussion interesting. You said it's highlighted throughout your book, playmakers that we've talked about before. When it came to concussions, when we'd open up the phone lines, it just seemed like fans did not have that much sympathy. They all acted like players should have known what they were getting themselves into and that they're getting paid all this money, and that contractually when this happens, it seems like they don't have a lot of sympathy. And furthermore, with the draft, anytime it gets brought up, and you've talked about this, about abolishing the draft and allowing players to kind of, within salary cap structure, be able to pick their teams. Fans don't like that at all. Fans hate that because they don't want this to be like real life. So how hard is it to find sympathy for players making that much money?
Well, it's hard because it's so baked in. And we resent, I don't mean me, I mean people, human beings. It's human nature, I think, to resent the players who are perceived as getting some sort of a windfall, as being the recipients of some genetic lottery where they were given these God-given skills that anybody else could have gotten, but they got them, and they should be grateful they got them. They should be grateful for everything that flows from them. It overlooks and disregards the work that's put in to get the most out of those skills, the levels of football through which they've progressed, the risks they take every time they step onto a football field, the damage that we know is done to their bodies and their brains. We all know it now. We weren't sensitive to it 13 years ago, but it didn't take a genius to figure out if you paid any attention to boxing and what happened to boxers after years of getting hit in the head. Yeah, it's probably not good for football players, even with a helmet on, to be repeatedly hit in the head. And I think they knew, or they would have accepted those risks. But at the end of the day, the issue is, and this is what astounds me, when push comes to shove, the fans fall in line behind the billionaire oligarchs. And I don't know why. I don't know it's because they identify the owners with the team, so they want to support the team. And supporting the team means lining up behind people who are so rich we can't even comprehend how much money they have, versus the guys who are going to put in two, three, four good years. And not many guys who play in the NFL are set for life. A lot of those guys end up with nothing by the time it's all said and done for a variety of reasons. They get overextended. They never were expected to learn how to manage their money. They get so many people who are trying to take money out of their pockets. They do not walk away, for the most part, from the NFL with the kind of money that gives them lifetime financial security. But we resent them. And I think at the core, people just want their football teams to be stable, consistent, and continuous. And when a player wants more, that threatens the harmony. So we just blame the player, even if the player's in the right.
I'll tell you this. This isn't even a question, Mike. This is a theory I'll throw about it, is that the owners, at some point, it feels like they're just a random Facebook account with an outline. I don't even know if there's a love or a hate, or it's just a vessel. And the organization, we back the organization because they represent the colors that represent the city, and the city is represented by the people, and the people love those things. They spend their holidays with football. And so I feel that that's why they have – I feel that's why the Steelers fans are connected to the Steelers and Browns and so on and so forth. And I think they pick and choose what players they stand behind. And if a player spends an entire career with them, great. If they don't, then I think they just move on to the next one.
And one of the byproducts of free agency is – players move more than ever before. And I think you're absolutely right. both Jerry Seinfeld and Billy Crystal have similar bits where they say that when you're a sports fan, you're just rooting for laundry. Mm-hmm. And a guy that you love, he's wearing different laundry the next day, you hate him. It's all about who's wearing the shirt. And the owners do become identified with the colors, with the names, with the logos. And because they manage to keep their affairs out of the public eye, we don't know how much money they're making. You know, we see these numbers that we just can't comprehend, like Rob Walton, who very well may end up buying the Broncos, worth $69.5 billion. But, you know, we don't hear every year how much he's making. Like, if we had the same kind of transparency with what the owners make, and we know what the net profits are of the organization, if there was full and complete, like a corporation, like it is in Green Bay. The difference in Green Bay, though, is there isn't an owner who is drawing some gigantic amount into his or her personal coffers every year. If we knew that, if we could compare what the owners are making to what the players are making, then maybe we would start down a path of having a greater sensitivity to the players. I don't know. But I really do think it is a byproduct of the fact that we root for the teams. We want the teams to be good. We want the players to be there. We want them to be happy. And if they're not happy, it must be something about them, not something about what the team is doing to them.
Mike Florio joining us, Pro Football Talk, also the author of Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't, available on Amazon and in bookstores now. Shouldn't I, though, Mike, be more upset? Like Baker Mayfield, we always say, well, he's getting $18.5 million, to hell with him. But shouldn't I be more upset over, like, a thing like exclusive rights free agency, which, I mean, there's been times as a fan where a player has a nice season and we go, well, too bad, we got you, ERFA. You got to come with us or you basically can't play in the NFL at all anymore.
Well, exclusive rights free agency means you're not a free agent. You have two options. You take whatever the minimum salary tender is that the team has to give you to hold your rights exclusively, or you don't play. That's it. You just don't have a contract. You know, it's the way it used to be back in the 70s, 80s, and early part of the 90s, where when your contract expired with your team, well, I got to negotiate a new contract. What's my leverage? Well, it's not that I can go play for anyone else. So my leverage is to just not play at all and not be in violation of my contract. So, look, there are all sorts of different rules and restrictions that make it harder for the players to get what they maybe should be getting. And with Baker Mayfield, that fifth-year option that holds him in place at $18.8 million, and it's not about the $18.8 because he's getting that one way or the other. Unless he does something really stupid and gives the Browns cause to cut him for a reason other than skill, injury, or cap, like the Ravens did to Earl Thomas a couple of years ago, and then say, we're not paying you. Unless he does that, he's getting that money. But what people don't focus on is the idea that Baker Mayfield wants to have a career beyond 2022. He needs to be somewhere this year where he can make the kind of a mark that will make him attractive to that team or some other team in free agency. And the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be for him to walk through the door, to get up to speed, and to go have the kind of year that puts him in line for a big contract on the open market. That's why I think at some point it's worth it to him to consider doing what Odell Beckham Jr. did in November when he took less money from the Browns to get out. Now, I just think that the situation has degraded to the point where they're not going to be able to work anything out. He's so pissed off at the team at this point after what he was told and what they did and how they went after Deshaun Watson. And I think the thing that was most damning from the ESPN article last week was the belief by Mayfield and those close to him that in week 17 at Pittsburgh, they deliberately set out to make him look bad so they make it easier to move on to Deshaun Watson. Whether that's true or not, if he believes that, I don't see how you ever work out anything amicable with the Browns. It's just a bad, toxic situation. It's a distraction for the Browns. And the sooner they clear out that cloud, the better off they're going to be when it's time to win football games in 2022.
Mike Florio with us. A few more questions quickly. Deshaun Watson going to be deposed twice this week. Then it'll happen again in June. However, there seems to be more and more speculation that the NFL may not suspend him this year. If suspend him at all, I guess what we're left with wondering now, Mike, do you think the NFL knows the parameters of a potential suspension? And do you think they will announce if he won't be suspended so that we will at least know and the Browns decision makers will know what to expect this year?
The NFL does nothing when it comes to player discipline until it absolutely has to. It has learned from mistakes to not make a decision and not make a move until it's required. There are people in the league office who believe that Deshaun Watson should be put on paid leave until these 22 cases are resolved. The commissioner said something in late March that implied they're not going to do that. If they do anything, they'll just go ahead and suspend him. There are three different approaches I think the league could take. One, you suspend him now and be done with it no matter what happens with the 22 cases. Two, you wait until the 22 cases are over and suspend him then, if he's going to be suspended at all. Three, you suspend him now with the understanding that based upon how these cases play out, we may revisit it and impose further punishment. That gives them a fallback in the event there's some massive runaway verdict and the jurors tell reporters afterward they were appalled by the conduct and et cetera, it becomes a big PR mess for the NFL. They can go back and do something. So those are the three options. I just look at this. And the Trevor Bauer suspension of a couple of weeks ago, 2 years. Now, the facts of his case are a lot more graphic and troubling, but still at the core, it's an allegation of sexual misconduct. I think that the NFL quite possibly may feel compelled to take serious action against Deshaun Watson. Remember, it's all a PR tool. Everything about the personal conduct policy is a PR tool. In 99% of the workplaces in America, anything that you do away from work is between you and the criminal or civil justice system. As long as you can show up for work, we're not passing judgment. In the NFL, they do because it's a PR tool. And you got to remember that every step of the way. They are thinking, how are people going to react if we suspend him, if we don't? If we do 6 games, if we do 4 games, if we do a season, if we do it now, if we do it later? It's all a PR calculation. And the NFL doesn't make a decision until it absolutely has to.
Pro Football Talk, find him there. Mike Florio, author, writer. Mike, we thank you very much for the time.
Good talking to you guys. Have a good day.
You too. Mike Florio joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, a lot to unpack there. We got the playmaker, Michael Irvin, set to join us 9:30. Hopefully we will get him on time. A lot to get to. There's some things that we disagree with when it comes to Baker Mayfield. And if you're Baker Mayfield, though, the one thing I have to say, there's no way I would take less. You can't. The market has shown you can't take less. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.